Okay, well, I'm recording now, so
oh, that's fine.
<'Cause>...
yes.
No. Because I want to actually make sure I'm recording after last week. I should have been clever and said that the government redacted that portion. As I was editing, I was like, damn it, that could have been really clever. Yeah.
This week we could record, we could die, and then we could record again.
We could. I didn't get any of the cake spray. I was going to. I thought really hard about it.
That stuff looked really gross. I was not going to spray it on myself, so.
I can't wait. There, you know that cosplay is going to be all over the place.
It's super easy.
Oh, yeah.
You could totally do that.
The reason I say I could do it is because I have very pasty skin. But I usually have very
You look like you haven't, like, compared to some of us, you look like you haven't eaten much.
He's been wandering the wasteland.
Yeah.
Just shave.
I look like I've eaten many of you.
We'll just cut your hair short. We won't worry about like buzzing it.
Erica, but you we'll look just... like Jasmine. No, I look like I ate Jasmine.
We'll just paint your face black from here up and keep your hair dark.
Yeah,
that'd be super easy.
You just slick it all down. You wouldn't even.
Right. Have to, yeah. Yeah. Well, when it's cut short.
Yeah. I wouldn't even have to do too much. Well, I did Heisenberg a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I am the one who knocks.
Say my name.
So the seduction game, you're seducing characters, is that
you've never heard of these games? They're like, I think they originated in Japan, but you
that's,
go
through, that was I would have put money on that.
You go through and you quote unquote date people, you have your selection of characters, and you go through, you date them, you have to, like, most of the time you have to build, like, stats, usually, like, some sort of intelligence, some sort of charisma.
So isn't this just, like, OkCupid, or?
Well, I mean, but it's with, like, really not real people, like, real fake people. It's like a choose-your-own-adventure, but
wow.
Where you're trying to bang people.
There is this one game, I cannot remember the name of it, that I saw on the Steam sale. It was right before I bought Had a Full Boyfriend for Kayla, because I was going to buy Had a Full Boyfriend just as a joke, and then I started reading the reviews, and some people were saying, like, I played it as a joke, and then I was really into it for some reason.
For some reason.
It's a pigeon dating simulator, basically. Like, you date birds. Sometimes you get murdered by them, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, I dated crows. I dated a...
It's a feast of crows.
I think it was a partridge who was also the school nurse, because this is obviously set in a Japanese high school.
Wow.
And he ended up murdering me and keeping my
head. Twice!
He murdered me, kept my head in a jar, and then murdered my head that was in a jar. Spoiler
That's
alert.
Dedication.
Spoiler alert.
What is the quality of up feather shots in this?
None. But
one of my favorite parts is, like, the first time you're introduced to each bird, they also pull up a portrait of, like, an anime character who the bird, I don't know why, who the bird represents. You never see it again throughout the rest of the game, so it's impossible to keep that connection. But, so, you know, they're, like, your typical pretty boy, like, anime characters. And then one of the characters, it pulls up the portrait of the dove, which he is, and then it pulls up his portrait, and it's just a drawing of a dove. Still just dating a dove. There's no, like, cognitive dissonance there. Like,
that's awesome. That's really good.
It's actually really fun. Like,
it sounds like I would be terrible at this game. I'm like,
it's just funny.
It was like $2. Like, it was such a huge Steam sale. I was like, this is perfect.
So I played all of Mass Effect 1 and, like, didn't even realize I could date someone in the game. Like, I completely ignored all of that. Like, I found
how
out
how is
later,
the goal of the game not to get a lesbian sex scene? Like, isn't that the point of the game?
I didn't know that was part, that, like, that was in the game.
Oh, Tony, it's there.
I know now.
In The Witcher 3, the only reason I know this is because of screenshots that I've seen. Apparently, there's, like, a sex scene on top of a unicorn.
Well, why wouldn't
Aren't
you?
Aren't all sex scenes on top of a unicorn?
Yeah.
I'm confused. What's the weird part?
Like, there's actuality or fantasy?
Wait, in the forest?
There's like a whole meme now where it's like a screenshot of dialogue in The Witcher 3, and the question is, which one of these will lead to unicorn sex or something like that?
Which one is it?
I don't know. I haven't played it.
Me either. It looked dumb.
I probably won't.
It looked really dumb.
But yeah, there are like real dating games, and there are some that are like straight up. Like,
they vary. They vary in
yeah. Oh yeah.
They vary in content. This one has no graphic content. It's just
no.
Oh. Yeah.
It's
pigeons. It's like you can't pigeons. Really.
Oh, I can.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I got nothing on this kind of game. Like
when
I'm
too
I was
busy with Arkham or whatever nonsense you're playing now.
I just literally just got Arkham this evening. And I was playing Shadow of Mordor before that.
Okay.
It's actually pretty fun.
Oh, wait, Shadow of Mordor. That's the game that Kim was crazy into. She loved that game.
The combat system is a lot like Arkham. Like, the button sequences that Arkham uses, everybody's copying it now. And it's fine, because I can
play. I hate learning new things.
Yeah, exactly. I hate it when somebody does something close enough, but then they change like the jump button to the punch button and reverse them. Well,
right,
everybody else
you.
Is doing that.
Is Elrond a dick because he tells his daughter that Aragorn is eventually going to die and leave her alone, but Aragorn is like a long-living individual?
But he's not long. He's not as long-living as the elves.
Well, the elves are functionally immortal.
Right.
But like, he makes it seem like this guy's going to leave you in 5 years. But Aragorn's got like a good 100-plus years in him still.
Yeah, but yeah. I think for the elves, 100 years to them might be like 5 years to us.
I still think it's 100 years.
I think she could say, hey, look, those humans keep pets that only last like 10, 15 years. So I can keep them as a pet.
I think a lot about Lord of the Rings.
That's weird.
No, I'm still taking the hobbits to Isengard. So I don't feel like it's weird at all. I feel like you trying to make it weird is weird.
I don't know why you would spend so much time thinking about that.
Because there's a lot of it to think about.
There's a lot of walking. You think about each step they take?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's fair.
I got 10 hours to listen to that song, so.
Guard, guard, guard. What did you say?
I should have listened to the whole thing on the way back from Florida.
You could have.
I could have.
You could have driven Lena completely insane. That would have been amazing.
And then thematically,
one abusive relationship right smack dab into another.
Oh, it's gonna get weird. Tony, we listened to no music. That's 16 hours. The
silence.
Only time music played.
You did audiobooks.
I did audiobooks with earbuds.
Whoa.
For myself.
Whoa. Not sharing those audiobooks.
That's not, it's not entirely true. There was music. Baba Yetu is my victory. Like, when we did Master of the Met, it's the song that got me up those last four flights of stairs. When we pulled off the highway, I started playing it. Of course, I didn't know how far off the highway her place was. So the song ended before we got there. I'm like, fuck
it. Just play it again.
Then I looked up, there's this, like, Asian chick who does this, like, solo guitar, like acoustic version of Baba Yetu, and I was like, oh, this next. It's on the next cool. list. That didn't last until we got there either.
No, she's about 10, 12 minutes off the highway.
I don't know. Then we got lost.
How'd you get lost?
That street that it told us to go is not very well marked.
Oh.
Because it told us to take a left up at, like, sheer cliff street.
Yeah.
And I was distracted by the giant ketchup bottle.
Ketchup bottle's there.
By the way, the ketchup bottle's for sale.
I know. Been for sale for a while.
Yeah, it's because nobody wants it. It's a big fucking ketchup
bottle. Big goddamn ketchup bottle.
Is Daryl coming tonight?
No.
Oh. Well.
He sent me a text, like, immediately after I sent that email, he sent me a text saying he couldn't make
it. Oh. Oh.
So it's just us.
When you said Peoria.
Well, that's where he was last week.
Oh. All right.
So I'm assuming.
I thought you were like, the last I heard from him, he was in Peoria, but like he was on
the last radio. Time he said where he was in Peoria, and that was last
week. What's going on with him and the traveling thing?
Work.
I haven't seen him in months.
He was here once.
He's here twice.
Was it twice?
He was here for Hedwig.
I skipped those 2 weeks.
Yeah, you did.
I did. So and did.
What else? He was here another time. I don't remember what else.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember. They always kind of start running together. I also forget what we talk about, like, in a week until we edit. Because, like, I'm focused on what's coming up next. It's like, oh, yeah, it was Citizen 4 last week.
You telling me that you don't remember what I say, like, as soon as I say it?
I remember in the second you say it. But what?
I've determined that Muddy Buddy is so stupid that, like, when she looks around, like, wherever her gaze is, she has immediately forgotten what preceded it. So when she looks around, everything she sees is new.
I think Riley was like that.
It's like there's zero retention. It's just in and out.
Yeah. In food.
Yeah. She looks away from it, then it's gone.
Then it's gone. Wait, smelled it. There it is. The problem is Riley never looked away from it. Once food was in his sights, it was consumed, and then it was gone.
Wait, is Muddy Buddy the one that cropped us? Me?
No, that was Suna.
That's Suna. Suna cropped us all.
Everybody. Suna's the worst.
Yeah, Suna would walk through the gaming area, and like we'd be gaming, and everybody would just go like this for the next 5 minutes.
Preemptive gas.
Is it clear? Because I'm not undoing this until I'm sure that it's clear.
Oh, Suna's the worst.
And it was every other time.
One of those fucking cats chewed through my lamp on my bed.
The lamp itself or the cord? Because one of these is an impressive feat. One of these sounds like being a cat.
It doesn't work anymore. I know it's one of those fucking animals' fault.
Or the light bulb just burned out.
No, I changed the light bulb. But now it's dark in there.
The worst.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Alex.
This is Kayla.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers.
Heard that about you.
Yep.
I saw it written on a bathroom stall.
Where?
You in take a picture Georgia.
Of that. I want to know who wrote that in Georgia.
It was me. It was me.
Fantastic.
Just... I saw it immediately after I wrote it.
Yeah.
You should have done some guerrilla marketing on your way back. Just every place you stopped, like, scribbled on the website.
That's a long URL.
Listen.
BetterInTheBack.com would probably draw more people's attention to it.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I still have that.
You
URL.
Could just scoop up a bunch of like URLs and just three.
Okay, I had this collecting.
When you say
habit
scoop
for a while.
Up a bunch of, and me being in a bathroom, there's just not a good place for that to go. Pooper scooper. I have 5 cats, Alex. You think I don't know about a pooper scooper?
Let's see. How many of them do I still have?
Do you know how much poop 5 cats generate?
5 cats worth.
5 cats worth of poop. You know how much poop 1 cat generates? Because it's a fucking lot.
I don't. My knowledge of cats is very limited, given their natural affinity for killing me.
Yep, that was one. So, Justice League of Podcasters.
That is super long.
That is super long.
What did you think about that stuff that I sent you for Sausage Fest?
I have to remember everything you sent. I remember off the top of my head.
You were not important.
I thought I had.
For me
I thought I had
your
better
email.
In the back. I must have let that one lapse.
Well, you were spending like $250 in domain renewals a year.
It's ridiculous. It really was. I do still have. I still have Holden.
Lightsaber swords.
Let's see. Oh, the raffling off of an item. I think it's a good idea. I think we need to make sure we get the word spread enough to make it feasible.
So would it be like a basket of items?
Are you guys doing a gift basket raffle?
Melina would donate so much money.
Melina just shit her pants. She doesn't even know why.
Because we could totally, set something like that at the con. I mean, we could have it sitting right there.
I'm thinking about doing like not just like a basket, but like a bunch of unique items. Like I don't want to just have like an action figure or something that somebody could pick up from the store.
Right.
I want to do something unique, right?
Because if you get the right one, he'll put money in for it.
Yeah, so I'm going
to
see.
I'll put money in as long as I don't have to do anything.
I'm going
to
see what, but if you think it's a good idea, I'm going to see what I can maybe get my hands on.
All right. Lovely. Yeah, it's worth a shot.
Okay.
I think doing it once as a small scale, just because it's really
proof
dicey.
Of concept.
Yeah. It's one of those things that people have to be aware that there is something to spend their money on. So like the first year, people were confused that they were coming to a room party and we were asking for donations. Because most of the time people just give out drinks. Like the idea is just to walk around and get drunk off of other people's alcohol.
I do.
Yeah. And we were actually saying, hey, no, donate please. So, but we've been doing it for 5 years now, so now they kind of expect that we do that.
Okay. So maybe just like an item. Let's see.
Yeah, an item or two. I mean, if you can get a couple of items that would relate nicely.
I'm going to try to get something that's going to be worth people's while.
But we also need to think about the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, the type of people, like, what would nerds. The type of people...
Nerds. I've heard it's... Nerds. I've heard it's... Fucking nerds. Sci-fi and fantasy.
And no one likes you. But yeah, aren't they... They're more like... It's more sci-fi. Like...
Sci-fi, fantasy. Some of the crowd is book nerds. Some of the crowd is anime. Some of them it's gaming.
Would it be like a heavy D&D crowd? Or would that be kind of scarce?
I mean, talking about breast sizes? Because, yeah, I think so. There's a lot of corsets.
Like if I got a D&D, like a Dungeons & Dragons memorabilia thing, like, would that be?
What do you I don't know memorabilia?
Yet. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
Okay.
I honestly think you'd be better off.
What about, like, Firefly?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
The Firefly geeks wet themselves for anything. For the longest time, the most downloaded episode of our podcast was the one we did on Firefly, and it was ridiculous. It was like we would get 100 new downloads a month on an episode that was, you know, 6 years old, where everything else was getting like, you know, we would get like 300 to 500 downloads.
So just people who are fans of Firefly,
and then they would stop.
Are so hungry for more anything more that they can consume. Yep. People talking about it, people thinking about it.
We just got 1,000 new downloads just mentioning it now.
The day that I found
I'm going to make sure it's in the show notes. Yeah. We talked about Firefly.
The day that I found out that there was a new Firefly graphic novel, I purchased it. I was like, oh, there's a new one. I'm going to go to Star Clipper. I'm going to buy this.
Yep.
You went somewhere?
Yeah.
Ugh, Alex. Ugh.
I wanted it.
Saying a lot of words I don't like.
I wanted it that day.
I went somewhere.
Ooh, lovers. That word bums me out unless it's between meat and pizza.
Okay.
Goddamn, 30 Rock was so good.
So let me...
So was Kimmy Schmidt.
Let me see.
Kimmy Schmidt was good.
That
was
get a couple Faye. Things.
I'm busy thinking about how awesome Tina Fey is.
You upset.
Panda
you
upset agrees. Panda. No, Panda agrees. I guess we can transition to talking about how awesome Furiosa is.
Furiosa is pretty awesome.
Oh. Mad Max, Furiosa Fury Road.
Fucking nice. Wait, what are we talking about next week, Tony?
Jurassic World.
I wasn't asking you, Alex.
But Alex knows.
Yeah, I know.
Thinking machines, supercomputers.
I know because I am keeping my upsetness fresh.
Spoiler.
Yeah, Chris Pratt did not take off his
spoiler,
shirt.
Spoiler, Alex.
If people saw that movie, it's not a spoiler.
Yeah. Or if people have gone on the internet.
That's fair.
But
I think it'll be an interesting discussion seeing how this week's movie and next week's movie are both fourth movies in a franchise.
Well, in a like ancient franchise.
This one's
it's like 30 years old. Not that 30 years old is like ancient, but as far as like movie franchises go that are being resurrected.
Oh, there's clearly two people who are under 30 here.
Not well, much under 30.
I'm about to say, you don't flip a switch at 30. I'm trying to start feeling old way before
Mad
then.
Max was. Because it was.
I thought the last one was in 85. Like, the last one before.
Well, it was whenever Tina Turner, because that was Thunderdome.
Right.
Yeah, it was when Tina Turner was at the height of her popularity.
I thought it was like the mid-80s.
I believe you're right. Mid to late.
I wasn't around when Tina Turner was at the height of her popularity, but I read a lot of articles today concerning Mad Max.
I don't know who Tina Turner is, but I feel like that's
another one of those.
I feel like that's my role here, is to be the guy who doesn't know anybody who's famous.
Well, I'm happy that's no longer me.
You passed the torch.
Here's the problem. Tony and all these other people know a whole bunch of old shit, and they forgot what it's like to not know things that happened before you were born. So I came up with a rule.
It's hard to know things. Like, it takes a lot of extra effort to know things before you were born.
So I came up with a rule. If it happened before I was born, it doesn't matter.
As far as pop culture goes.
No, pretty much in general.
Well, I don't know pop culture, like, at all.
Alex doesn't know modern pop culture.
Yeah.
That's...
You know who Chris Pratt is.
I do now because Adam has pointed him out several times.
Well, you watch Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec.
But here's the thing. I could have watched all of Parks and Rec and then watched Guardians of the Galaxy, and if nobody had told me, I would have never put those two guys
together. Admittedly.
You would have realized when he went away and came back buff. He's like, I just stopped drinking beer. Because that's what happened. He went away and came back in great shape from doing Guardians.
Oh, man, when he takes his shirt off, that Guardian scene is like, holy shit.
What the?
Yeah. What happened, Andy? What did you do in Europe?
So, I didn't see any of the other Mad Maxes, as far as I know.
I have also never seen any of the other Mad Maxes. I did know that Tina Turner was...
Beyond Thunderdome.
In Beyond Thunderdome.
But
as the head person of Bartertown.
Who run Bartertown?
Tony. Well,
Tina Turner.
Not okay.
It's not her name in the movie, but I did know that. That's the extent of my
knowledge. Assuming she was somebody that Mad Max let die.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's been a while since I've seen that
I think
one.
She was more of an antagonist than that. Yeah.
But this movie was fucking awesome.
Is the point I've seen the original Mad Max, and it was okay, but not great.
So
the original, you're right. The original is very... It's very indie. It was made in 79, and there is not a tremendous amount of dialogue. There's not a tremendous amount of dialogue in the movie either. But the movie lets you try to figure out what's going on, and it's a lot closer to when the apocalypse happened that put the world in its place. Max was a cop, and his family was killed, and now he's just roaming wasteland. That's pretty much the story of the first movie. Then there was Road Warrior, which is the second movie, and it wasn't called Mad Max at all. It was just called The Road Warrior. And that's where they actually got a budget. And most people, at the time, most people thought that that was the first movie. Because they introduced the world a little better, but they still didn't tell you any of Max's backstory. Because I think at that point they realized that it doesn't matter. You're more into the apocalypse, and it just doesn't matter. And then from there, after the first Mad Max, then you have Road Warrior, Thunderdome, Fury Road. You could pretty much interchange those movies in any order you wanted, except for the fact that Mel Gibson was the first three and Tom Hardy now is Max. But the stories are complete into themselves.
I didn't feel like I was missing anything.
Yeah. They're kind of like James Bond movies in that you can take any James Bond movie and watch it in any sequence and it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I liked it when the movie is modular like this, where I think the beginning did a very good job of setting up the background story for the world and the characters in a fast way that didn't drag on, mm-hmm. and in a complete enough way that I was okay with everything that happened afterwards. It also helps that this movie also had a lot of major hooks for me. like
hooks?
It was very barbed. Like,
literal.
There were literal hooks.
It's post-apocalyptic, which is like heroin to me. It's not only post-apocalyptic, it's post-major war apocalyptic, which is another big thing. I like cars. So, like...
There were many cars.
Simple man.
I liked the social, like, situation, the political situation that was going on. It made sense. It seemed reasonable. I also liked how the people in charge weren't just, like, politicians or someone born into the role. It was, you know, even though there was kind of like a dictator in charge, he was like the big badass,
mm-hmm.
you know, fighter. So,
or at least he was at one point.
Yeah, he was at one point. He still drove
he's
like
kind of just like faked it.
Yeah.
Into continuation. I actually liked that.
Yeah.
Like they created this mythos about him that you could kind of surmise without. They never really told you.
They kimmed it.
It was great.
There's a lot of lore to this movie. I read up a lot on it. There's a lot of lore to this movie, but you don't have to know it to get the gist of it when you're watching it. Like
it's all there.
Yeah,
you can tell they built a complete world, and they're showing you just what they want to show you to tell you the story.
And I also like that it wasn't just following like one character constantly. Like there was a bunch of different characters that you got to spend time with and watch and see how they changed, especially the war boy, his name.
Knox.
Yeah.
That was converted. Well, it was an interesting transition to watch because like he tries so hard to, you know, be amazing in the
mediocre. Rise
of, in the eyes of his god, and then fails so bad.
He saw. Right? He looked right at me. You know why I like this movie so much, Tony?
Why?
The original Mad Max and the sequels all felt like half commitments. They were ridiculous movies that weren't fully committed to. But just like Guardians of the Galaxy, this movie fucking commits. It knows it's ridiculous and embraces it.
Yeah.
Half the movie, Tom Hardy is using Bane voice. I love it. Furiosa is missing an arm, and where her arm would be on the outside door of her truck is a skeleton arm pointing. That's fucking ridiculous.
I love how I didn't realize she was missing an arm until, like I'm watching scenes and I was like, wait a minute, something's not right with what's going on. Like, does she not have an arm? Wait a minute, I'm seeing through her metal. Yeah, that's... Yeah, it took me a few minutes. I didn't notice it at first, and they didn't point it out.
I love the character list, too.
Yeah, I love that. Like, they didn't make that a point in the movie. It just was, like, intrinsically... It just was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how it would be in this world, you know?
And nobody questions that somebody is just going to not have an arm because of something that happened to them.
Yeah, we were looking on the internet. I can't remember what we were looking for. I think we were looking for Furiosa cosplay arms. Like, we're trying to see if anybody's made one yet.
Yeah, Molina was looking for one.
And a bunch of the search results and suggestions were, what happened to Furiosa's arm? And my immediate reaction was, she fights for a living with cars and explosions and bombs. Like, it got fucking blown off or cut off. Like,
yeah. Don't tell me.
Right, yeah.
It does not matter to me.
I don't need to know. Yeah, it's, you know, it...
Listen, Furiosa's a fucking badass.
Yes.
Yeah, she is.
That's what I got.
Like, I really like the character flaws a lot. Like, Mad Max wasn't some crazy, like, infallible or crazy strong or genius character, right? Like, there was that one scene where he was trying to shoot the tank that was charging at them, and he missed several times, and he ends up handing the gun back to Furiosa, and she takes it out in one shot. Like, I love that scene.
Yep.
Like, you know, she's
I'll be your tripod.
She's a better shot than he is. Like, I love that part that it wasn't just like, you know, this is our hero. Like,
I loved, so that scene is a fantastic example of everything the MRA has bitched about with this movie.
Yeah.
Because every time Mad Max goes to do something that you think is going to be awesome, he doesn't do it or they don't show it. Like, his big action sequence is when he goes and, like, fights that tank thing and then he just leaves. And then there's an explosion in the distance, and then he comes back.
Yep.
And that's it!
I love that scene, because while the girls were freaking out, like, are you covered in blood? Are you hurt? And Furiosa's like, oh, that's not his blood.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... For those two, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. They understand each other very well.
Yeah.
And there's a respect there. And him handing the gun to her just says it without them ever having to have a conversation about it.
Yeah, like, she knows she's a better shot than he is, and that's him, like, okay, just do this.
And she never has to say, hey, dumbass, give me the fucking gun.
Right.
Another big complaint, and I've heard not just people, like, from the MRA camp, but, like, some people mentioned it, was that the movie's called Mad Max, but Mad Max seems to be, like,
A side character.
But it's also called Fury Road, which is a play on Furiosa.
Right. Yeah. My thing is, that doesn't bother me at all.
She is clearly the main character in this movie.
Because Mad Max kind of, he enters into their story. Mm-hmm. Like, they were doing this thing regardless. Like, their story was the big action story.
Yeah.
He just happened to, like, stumble upon it. So it doesn't bother me that he doesn't just pop in as the man, you know, with all these women, and saves the day.
The thing is if anybody's seen any other Mad Max movies, this isn't new. He is constantly fumbling into a situation that he doesn't want any part of. He just wants to fucking just let me leave. I just either want gas or just to keep breathing till tomorrow. If I can get those two things, I'm fine with everything else that's going on. And that's pretty much Mad Max's MO through everything.
That to me is infinitely more interesting than the thought that he shows up and saves
to be a hero.
Yeah, and saves the day. Like, that's so much more real.
Yeah, like the Marvel movie that we watched, I don't even know what it was called. The Avengers.
Yeah.
That was so boring to me. Whereas this is, like, so exciting because these characters are so much more flawed and so much more human, and the world is so much more realistic, and there's bigger consequences for all their actions. Like
Flaming Guitar.
Yeah, that
Flaming Guitar was
really Flaming bad. Guitar was so fucking
that
cool.
That is so far the best bard in movie history. Like,
that Flaming Guitar is a full commitment.
Yeah.
No half measures. That's a full measure.
Yeah.
Mike Ehrman Trout agrees.
I love the scene where he's like asleep in the bungee cords and like the car starts starting and he's like, oh shit, and he starts playing again.
I like how they integrated his guitar playing to the background music for the rest of it. Because he would play guitar and they would add other instruments to the score. Or they'd have this fully realized score, and then you'd realize that as they focus in on the guitar, that he's actually playing the guitar for the score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that transition was good.
That
was
really nice how they did that.
No, that I don't really have any complaints about this movie at all. Like, this movie was amazing. I guess if you don't want to see somebody die, don't watch this movie. But other than that,
it was. I mean, it's a brutal world.
Yeah, a post-nuclear war.
I saw people complaining about the milking the mothers at the beginning. I don't know. I think it was they were reverse complaining that you're saying that this is a feminist movie, but you have a scene like that and you're okay with it being in that. It was a stupid argument.
I mean in the same, like, you also have this group of women who were like forced into being his wives and were being raped. Those mothers who are being milked are just like another facet of his like cruelty. It's
showing you how bad the bad guy is.
Right.
Yeah. And weird. I mean, I guess it's another source of nutrition, but I think it's the milk thing was kind of weird to me.
I read an article.
Kind of?
Well, because I thought maybe they have like a big nursery, so they have like full-time wet nurses
don't.
Or
like,
something.
That's kind of the
they
problem.
Don't. Yeah, so like I didn't understand what the milk was used for.
Did you know that you can buy human breast milk? Like, for adult consumption, like, people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, a big problem with it because it is not good for you nutritionally. Like, as a human, like, an adult human person, it's
not. Milk isn't good for you as an adult human, just in general.
Yeah.
Well, like, cow's milk, I can't remember what vitamin or
A and D.
It's protein. It's protein. Like, cow's milk has a lot more protein than human's milk.
Human
does.
Milk is more fat. So you're using it to.
You're more.
Build up a child. I mean, you're trying to give it a ton of calories.
There are all these people who are like selling human breast milk.
I've never
and
really
claiming listen, like it'll cure cancer. It'll like do this. It'll do this.
In Japan, they have vending machines where you can buy used panties. Why does this surprise you that you can buy used breast milk or produced breast milk? It's kind
How
of used.
Exactly, was it used?
It was produced.
Better.
I mean, anyone who thinks that is dumb. Like,
I saw a lot of weird complaints about this movie. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about the MRA folks or any of that, because that's I understand where their complaints are coming from because they're morons.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a moron.
Listen, women are keeping us down, Tony.
I know.
They're making my life harder.
I'm sorry about
it's so
that.
Rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to keep us on track tonight, too, aren't you?
I apologize. Well, I am
a man,
feminazi, so I'm here to crack the whip.
As a man that earns $1.30 for every dollar a woman earns, it is hard in this world.
It's rough. It's a rough place
to be. I think it's more than that, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
It's 70 cents on the dollar.
Now that is problematic, because I have to edit around that shit. And by edit, I don't, so it's fine.
I'm a reasonably well-paid technical professional. I don't have any problems
at life. I had a really good point, and not ground it. Oh, another thing I really liked about the movie is, and I was trying to pay attention to this while it was going on, because it's such a violent movie, but in a lot of action movies, they won't display that violence towards women. Like, they won't show, like, women, like, with blood or getting shot or run over.
Or an old woman being attacked.
Right, exactly.
Which happened in, like, the first 10 minutes.
So, and they weren't afraid of that, which is how the world really would be. Like, yeah.
Oh, man, that fight between...
The able fighters were fighting, regardless of gender.
Furiosa and right. Max, yes. That fucking knockdown brawl was so fucking awesome. Yeah. Like, punching each other in the face, yes!
Isn't that the one where her arm comes off? Like, her yeah. And she's still, like, pummeling him?
So one of the complaints I saw that doesn't make any sense is that this movie had no plot.
It had a very simple plot.
I thought it was a very clear plot.
The plot was very well plotted. Like, I don't know.
Literally, it followed a course.
Yeah, I know! Oh, it was one big chase.
Yeah.
That's not... Okay, but it was
literally chase. Just went to a destination.
But there was a reason for it the entire time.
This movie, no, like Blues Brothers is one big chase, right? This had a much bigger plot.
I agree.
I'm not agreeing with.
I love me some Blues Brothers, but that movie—it's the only thing I remember movie is the chase.
It's ridiculous how much now that you've mentioned Blues Brothers, there's so much that these two movies have in common.
Yeah, well, which one is Furiosa?
Well, there is no mall in the post-apocalyptic world.
No, that canyon's close enough.
Yeah. riding through the canyon was pretty close.
Witness. There are no Nazis.
Post-apocalyptic world. Well,
I don't know. That
Bullet Town.
There are no nuns.
Except that they did. They were going to meet the women.
Oh yeah, the mothers.
So that was kind of like the nuns. They were doing it for them.
Oh, those shit. Old women kicked so much ass too.
They totally just ripped off the Blues Brothers. that's the only flaw in the movie. That's not a flaw.
Here's another thing I really liked about this movie. A lot of the action was like quick and brutal, but the camera shots of it were not.
Right.
They were flat with the action in the center of the shot so you could actually see it, and there was no shaky cam bullshit. Mm. Well, so you were actually watching the action happen.
There's so much movement in this movie just from it being what it is. You know, it's a chase. And, you know, there's all this stuff lying around and all this action, like you said, but I never got a sense of, like, vertigo that you sometimes get with shots
So What I would relate that to is, like, a lot of times they'll use quick cuts to build tension, to amp up the tension. I was tense because the whole thing was moving the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, it was all in constant motion. And that built the tension for me far more than the quick cuts would. Like, just the fact that, man, if his hand slips while he's trying to punch that guy, it doesn't matter because he's going under the tires and it's all over.
The tension was good and the pacing of the movie was fantastic. Like there was never a moment where like you hit the climax way before you should have or something.
To completion.
To completion.
Yeah. Like there was.
Is that a problem that people have?
Yeah.
No, I liked how the movie was paced, and there was a point when the movie stopped when they got to the. To for people,
right?
Yeah, but thematically,
and
it worked.
It needed to. You needed to have a break.
Yeah,
there was so much tension for so long. You needed to have a release of some of that tension before you knew it was going to push to the end.
And you want to see some badass old ladies and motorcycles?
Right. They were fucking badass.
They were badass.
Yeah, it's like you see where Furiosa gets it.
Old leathery desert women
on motorcycles.
When that old lady came down that hill on that motorcycle with the paddle tires and got off that bike, I was so fucking happy. I was like, give me more of this right now. Like, I want more 80-year-old women on motorcycles with paddle tires in sand dunes. Like, we need this in this world.
You got it.
Yeah.
And then most of them died.
They all died.
Awkward. No, two of them made it.
Oh, two of them made it?
Yeah.
Alex.
Sorry. I was there.
I was reluctant. I'm always reluctant to, like, ascribe, like, a feminist status to anything. before, especially since I knew that the director of this was a man, before, like, I know, before they say it, like, I never want to do that until I was looking it up, and they had Eve Ensler. I don't know.
I don't know who that is.
Nobody, of course. She was the writer of the Vagina
Monologues. We all have penises.
She was the writer of the Vagina Monologues. She's a huge feminist, but he had her, like, come consult for them, like, especially the wives, to talk to them about, like, sexual violence and, you know, other women's experiences and how, you know, they might feel, you know, in this world. And apparently Miller, like, has flat out come out and said, yeah, like, this is a feminist.
I think it's feminist in that it didn't hold back and it didn't, like, push a pro-male agenda, right? Like, it showed exactly what it should be showing, I think I'd say.
Surely
there wasn't it showed that what I liked about it was it showed a world where strong, violent men did terrible things, and then people, men and women,
regardless,
people said, no, this needs to stop now, and they stopped it.
Yeah.
And if that's feminist, then yeah, okay, that's feminist.
Right. It's only feminist so far as that people looked at it and saw, oh, like, the majority of these characters are women. Like, what's up with that?
They're doing,
like,
that's things. The only,
yeah, like, and they're doing real human things.
They're not in a kitchen. What the fuck is that?
Like, that's the only reason it's feminist, is because that's so weird to people.
And that's weird that it has to be called that, because, you know, it's like...
Well, so...
So
feminism is about equality, not making women better, right? So, like, I see this as a feminist movie in that men and women are equal.
Right.
But most, you know, MRA people are going to see this as, oh, women are doing something a man should be doing or something.
There was a feminization of, like, some dude wrote an article. It was like, this movie shit all over my testicles.
Whoa.
It was awesome.
Some people pay for that.
Probably in Japan. This is in Germany. So I was actually concerned about that when the wives first show up. And the first time we meet the wives, they're, like, in bikinis, basically having a splash fight in the desert.
Yeah.
I was like,
Oh, my t-shirt party.
When I first saw that, I was like,
I was like, where is this? But then, like, they never changed. Like, it's fucking out of here. This is what we're going to wear.
All right. It's not like they had an option in clothing when they left. They left with the clothing they had, which was probably what they were required to wear. They probably didn't have something to change into.
And they were trapped in that, like,
truck,
like, thing, safety box or whatever below deck. And they said they couldn't breathe when they were down there. So it makes sense that they were, like, bathing, I guess. But yeah, when I first saw that scene, I got the same vibe. I'm like, what's going to happen now?
Like, but then, like, but that never went anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that was never a focus of the movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, it never went to a place where it was like them splashing and like tossing their hair.
Then it's like,
and, like,
little make out.
Yes.
A little bit.
Right. It was like, it's hot out here. Yeah. We've been in that effing truck like all day.
It's hot.
I had that weird feeling too, like that you guys were saying, but I never got it again.
What I think really sold it for me that wasn't where it was going was they have the splashing around part. And then Max shows up and he's like, bring me the hose because I'm thirsty. So the blonde chick brings him the hose and he's drinking from it. And then, like, he does something else and something else happens. And then you see the chick, like, the wet chick in the bikini type thing. And then Furiosa just runs straight at her back and tackles Max. And then it's like, this is, like, the literal freight train to divert your attention away from what she's wearing. And then they had that fucking brawl where they just beat the shit out of each other. Yeah. And it's so fucking awesome.
Yeah. I loved it when Max wakes up after the desert storm and he's still chained to that guy. And the chain is going through the door. And you can tell he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
What do I do in this situation? I gotta carry this guy in the door.
I liked how consistent.
Right, he tries to shoot it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the gun, like, goes.
Yeah. It was a bad cap.
God damn it.
And then he's faking it with the gun, with the shotgun the rest of the time.
Like,
but, you know, Furiosa doesn't know that it it's not loaded.
Well, she grabs it and then she tries to shoot him, right?
Yeah.
And then she knows. And she's like, God damn it! You just stuck us up with this old fucking gun.
I like how consistent they kept his costume, too, because, like, when he takes the tube out of Nux, he keeps the tube the whole time.
Well,
in every scene he's in, the tube is still strapped to his shoulder.
Like, you could see his car was, whenever, in the beginning scene, like, his car was just full of, like, packaging and just shit that, you know, when you're wandering around a desert wasteland, I guess, that's all, you know, you keep everything you can. Like, whenever
Nuka-Cola?
Yeah, when I play Fallout, I've got 60 pounds of Nuka-Cola. Because stim packs are expensive.
They are expensive.
But they're rad-free.
Yeah. So you should watch this movie.
I did.
I want
Nox.
You should watch it again.
I think we need to talk about Nox. Yeah. Nox, is that Nox or Nux?
Nux.
Nux.
Nux. Because he is a very compelling character.
Yeah.
I think.
That was the character that actually had an arc.
That was Beast.
I mean, realistically, none of the other characters had an arc. They didn't change.
Right.
They were already complete.
They were.
To completion.
They were already complete.
They're already going to their end goal, right?
Yeah.
Except for Mad Max. Mad Max
is just there.
Yeah. He just got stuck there.
He's the narrator, really.
He's the point of view, yeah.
Right.
He's my gateway character.
Mm-hmm. To Valhalla?
To Valhalla.
Mediocre!
That was so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I like Nox. I like that he's this wormy little slime ball who we see who's barely alive the first time we see him. And he just kind of... He keeps going and keeps growing and keeps changing, and he doesn't have a place.
He's got a place now.
But he's got a place now, yeah.
In Valhalla.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably.
I witnessed it. Well, he told me to witness, and I witnessed it.
We did witness it.
We all witnessed.
I witnessed it twice. To completion.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed that character. It was interesting to see him growing, trying to impress his superior.
Saved sailing. By the power of vagina.
The magic
or
of
ruined by the power of vagina.
I thought it was hilarious when he was
his old character. The old character was ruined, but he was saved.
The old character was ruined, but the new character was saved.
Yeah,
I liked it when he was driving the truck for the first time, and that wife was like, "Oh, you wanted to drive? Who wanted to drive?" Like Max was freaking out, like, "What the fuck? Why is this guy back? How did he get back?"
I mean, it's kind of like, he's your atypical war boy. You know, they're part of this cult mentality where Immortan Joe is considered literally immortal, and, you know, they have to impress him, and they desire to die in battle for him so that they'll reach Valhalla.
Literally think that's their only purpose.
Right. They're all really sick, like, super sick. They lead a half-life. They know that they're going to die young. It's either going to be a sickness or they can die in glory, you know?
They're literally terrorists.
Yeah.
That's literally how they control terrorists and get them to do suicide bombings.
Right,
and
you promise them
They promise them an endgame.
You mean religious extremism causes problems?
No, I mean...
No,
poor social structure and someone taking advantage of people
who have no hope.
They're disenfranchised people who are. I mean, Hitler did it. The terrorists and Middle East do it.
Tony does it on this podcast.
Domestic terrorists.
Right. I got you guys showing up every week.
Yeah.
Every week is probably a bit of a stretch for me.
But
two out of three.
You know, they
lately
they worship anything mechanical. I read too much about this shit, guys. I'm sorry. We're going all night.
No.
Well,
you saw him talking, like, whatever he was, in the beginning, he's like a V8, 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 like a V8 for...
V8 is, like, their chant. It's, like, their...
Yeah.
But because they worship anything mechanical, they see, like, machines as permanent and fixable, whereas their bodies are not. You know, they're sickly, and they can be broken, and they can die, but
the machines were before, and they will be, will be it when we're gone. It's something that has come before and will be after.
Right.
Like butts. I also did some reading today.
The thing that's different about Nox is when he doesn't die the way he wanted to. Like, three times he tries to die, right? And the last time he knows that, you know, Immortan Joe's like, mediocre! Like, he feels so, like, downtrodden, and he knows that Joe saw his blood bag, quote-unquote, which is Max, driving the war machine, or the war rig.
Yep.
So he knows that he can't, like, go back. So he faces this moment where he's like, he can't go back to his old life, which was worshipping, you know, this world. So he's open to this whole new reality.
Yeah. He's failed in Glorious Death.
Right.
Multiple times. It's not going to happen for him.
Mediocre.
And you could see what he wanted, too, because there was a scene towards the beginning of the movie where somebody else gets shot with a crossbow. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, cheering the guy on, like, come on, get up. You can do this. Because he knows that wasn't an honorable death, right? Like, and the guy gets up, spray paints his face, and then suicide bombs.
Right.
And, you know, like, that was...
Well, yeah, and he's watching the other war boys die in that way, and he's sitting there going, oh, what a lovely day. Like, he's they're so excited.
He's cheering them on.
Yeah, that, you know, these other war boys are going to Valhalla. You know, the gate has been opened for them. I'm trying to think of what... There's one, like, really interesting part. It's right after when he's sitting up on top of the truck and that girl, the redhead, comes. I should know all their names, but they have, like, really weird... They're, like, Toast and Cheeto. Like, those are the names of the wives. Toast, Cheeto, the... I don't know.
Snack Pack.
Jif.
Coca-Cola. No. It's like, but she comes up and, you know, she's talking to him, and he's like, something, something... And Larry and Barry, like, haven't been bothering me all, you know, they hadn't been bothering me. And then he's, like, he's got these two little,
growths.
Well, they're, I don't know what they
tumors.
Were. Tumors. Yeah.
They're, like, tumors that he drew faces on.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I assume they were tattooed on.
Yeah.
And they might be, yeah.
As soon as I saw that, I was, like, that seems like something I might do.
Yeah.
Like, if I get a tumor on my shoulder, it might get a face.
I was actually triplets. But I ate most of my other boys.
I mean, that, I think that moment solidified for me that it's quite possible that he wasn't a bad person. Like, he's not an evil person.
Well, he thought he was doing what was right.
Right, because they are taken in infancy and raised
right
this way.
All right, so the girls' names are Toast the Knowing.
Toast.
I wasn't lying to you.
The Splendid... Angharad?
That's the favored wife.
Yeah. Capable.
She gets a pick. Yes.
Yeah. Capable. The Dag. Cheeto the Fragile. Not Cheeto.
It's Cheeto
the Fragile.
Which is the one that gets run over? Oh, that was the one that was pregnant.
Yeah.
The Doof Warrior is played by Iota. Little I. Big OTA.
I don't know what that is.
That's it.
That's the person.
The one big complaint that I saw about this movie that I thought might have credence is that there aren't a lot of people of color in it, even though it's set in Australia, which has, like, a big Aboriginal population.
Yeah, but this is post-nuclear war as well. And we know that the area that they were in...
White rationalization, well, Alex.
We also know that the area they were in had major inbreeding problems. So this was probably... one family, or maybe two or three small families a few generations ago.
Listen, are you telling me that Rictus Erectus was inbred?
He's the big brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he the one that was in the pool in the beginning? Or is he the one with the giant foot?
No, he's the one who had, like, the air Bane
mask.
Tank on.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he was, like, big. Yeah. He's, you know, Immortan Joe has two sons. He's got the, I can't remember the infantile. The one that's like, he's an infant.
Yeah. One's like in the car seat thing.
Yeah. I can't remember his name. And then there's Erectus.
Rictus Erectus. Erectus.
Yeah, they all clearly had some inbreeding problems.
Well, that was a big theme in the movie, too, because, you know, they have the splendid Aga, what her name is, who's pregnant, and he's not just trying to get his wives back, he's trying to get
this kid back.
This baby back. So they show the scene where they take the baby out of her, and that's like a huge blow to Immortan Joe that there was this son, his son, who was perfect and Rictus Erectus, like, screams this. I had a baby brother, and he was perfect. Like, you know, in this world that's fraught with disease and...
mutation.
Right, mutation.
Butt stuff. Completion. Everybody knows how to work on a small block, but nobody remembers a Geiger counter.
I mean, but if you knew how bad the radiation was, what would you do about it?
Try to find the least radiated place.
Not be irradiated. Like, I can try to not be irradiated all day long, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Actually,
there's no rat away.
A good thing to do is plant marijuana.
Your face is marijuana.
Marijuana and hemp remove radiation from soil.
Listen. What if you don't live in the soil?
Oh!
You live in the air.
Here's what you need. You need to find a place where the radiation can't go around a corner, because it doesn't turn.
It can't turn right.
I'm not joking.
Is the radiation a NASCAR driver?
No, that's not. I'm not actually joking. Radiation doesn't turn. It's like if you can get yourself a little corridor that blocks the radiation, it can be open.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it doesn't turn. Surviving disaster. Cade Courtley. They did a nuclear bomb episode. If you see the nuclear flash, lay down and open your mouth. Because the pressure from the blast will blow out your lungs.
Oh.
Keep your mouth open.
Huh. I mean, if you're that close, though...
I'm never going to survive.
With a current nuclear bomb, like, you're fucked.
Listen, that's kind of how he starts the episode. Listen, your chances of survival are not great. But here are all the things you will have to do to maximize those chances. Get inside. Seal the place. And he even gives the scenario for if you expect to be rescued within a couple days, or if you need to make a longer-term stand.
So there's something else I wanted to talk about
regarding the movie. Oh, damn it, Tony.
It's tangential to me.
Is it the Doof?
No. It's the Chibi.
The Chibi.
Nomenclature Joe.
Nomenclature Joe.
So on Twitter, the weekend after the movie came out, somebody created an account called Nomenclature Joe.
I heard about
that. Okay. The crazy thing is we know this guy. We know him. He has been a listener to the podcast for a long time.
He's been a friend.
He's been a friend for a long time. He's been on the show before. He actually created the Sausage Fest logo. He's the guy that did that.
When we one year at Archon, we did like this marathon review of the Lord of the Rings movies. And while we were up there doing it, it was like everybody who's ever been on the show, while we were up there doing it, he drew the Fellowship, and then all of us as members
as the Fellowship. It's actually my Facebook background.
It's
if you look at my
so
that's
good.
Drawing.
It's so good.
This guy is Gollum turning around showing his ass.
So good.
It's really good. So he went on Twitter, and anybody that asked for like 3 days, he would give them names in the world of Mad Max. So I missed it.
Yeah, I only heard about it afterwards.
But because I'm Facebook friends with him, I congratulated him and said, hey, I want a name. So he did it. So my Mad Max name is Porcus Festus, and my war rig is the Backseat Reducer.
That's good.
Yeah.
God damn it, Chibis.
He's crazy, crazy creative.
We actually met him when he was in college, and then like
he would listen to the podcast while doing he was an art student at the time, and he would be staying up doing his homework and stuff and listening to the podcast. He'd call in and he'd be in the chat room when we were doing the streaming when we streamed the recordings. Good guy, real good guy.
And like he was at Gen Con last year or the year before. No, last year. And he's like, man, let me tell you about this project I'm managing. And I'm like, oh, Chibi, no.
You're a college student. You're not.
Yeah. Don't ever grow up, Chibi. Stay young forever.
And he's like, what, 6'8" or something?
Oh, my God. He's massive. Yeah, like when he's sitting down, he just looks like a normal person, but he stands up and he's like, whoa.
He's like this tall and like crazy big curly hair.
He does look like Sam. He and Sam are like the 6.5 foot tall curly haired duo.
Yep.
I'm going to see Sam this weekend, by the way.
Cool. Tell him I said hi.
No. I'm going to tell him
rub his nuts for me.
I'm going to tell him specifically, Tony doesn't say hi. Alex and Kayla say hi. You've never met them, but Tony doesn't say hi.
He may listen to this.
Nah, he won't listen to this. Nobody does.
sending this out on the internets.
If I get around to it. So
I saw this movie twice. I saw it once in 3D and once not in 3D. I found the 3D to be inoffensive.
Yeah.
I did not see it in 3D.
Which is the best review I can give of 3D.
I'm showing for the Fellowship. Else, I'm showing Alex and Kayla the Fellowship.
That. I've seen that on your...
Oh, so good.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll talk about this next time, but Jurassic World in 3D was very distracting for me for a little while.
Did we see it in 3D?
Yeah, we did.
Oh.
After maybe 30 or 40 minutes, I got used to it and I was able to ignore it. But I'm not a big 3D guy. Like, it doesn't work right on me. I don't understand.
It doesn't work right on anybody. Like, it's just distracting and awful. Of course, the dude's guitar in 3D was satisfying because it was coming at me. I'm like, I want this dream to come to reality.
Or to feel the heat on my face.
Yeah.
Was it me or was some of the action sequences seem sped up?
I didn't feel
it. I don't know. They felt so...
They may have
fast.
Been sped up a little
bit.
Yeah, it wasn't much, but it just felt
like... I actually kind of feel like it wasn't sped up. It's just that you're so used to not being able to see the action clearly.
And that could be it. That very well could be it.
Like, Michael Bay and everybody who's copied that style since then, which is, like, every director, has fucking ruined action scenes.
They, like, decompress them and make them... With all the shots, they slow the action down.
Lazy!
Yeah.
It's lazy. It's like, oh, well, we don't want to either do the CGI... Or script this out so it doesn't suck. But, like, everything in Mad Max was practical. Like, there was very little CGI work.
It was not everything, because I could see some.
The stuff was immaterial.
Well, the storm had to be CGI. Like, okay, that's just from logic standpoint. But that looked great.
It did look great.
It looked ridiculous. It didn't look CGI.
But
there was a couple of times when you saw someone face front, you're looking at them as they're driving toward you, and like there are flames behind them, and it's like those flames were so unrealistic. They almost looked cartoonish.
I know, but I think they were actually flames.
I remember getting that, but
the guitar actually shoots.
I know the guitar.
I just felt that the
guitar was always from a distance, so you could see it, the impressive gouts.
I know, but my point on that is, if you're gonna build a guitar that shoots fire, why would you just not go the extra step and have the car shoot fire, too? Like, why CGI the fire there? It's easier to do the fire out of a car.
I felt sometimes the same way, where the fire looked CGI, but I felt like it was a stylistic choice. Like, it didn't take me out of anything.
No, it was just noticeable. That was the only thing that I... And like, I never noticed the CGI of the storm. It was just after the fact, holy shit, they went through that storm. Wait, that couldn't have been a practical effect.
Yeah. And the storm was like the least impressive. Like, when the guys run like the bouncing pole thing, that was awesome. That was practical as shit.
They had the guy at the bottom as the counterweight. Like,
and the attention to detail, not just the guy at the bottom. Most of those had a small block engine with a transmission attached to them. Also for counterweight at the bottom.
Yeah.
Which just, like, adds to the overall thing, like, okay, like, not only... They didn't just stick a hunk of lead down there, right? They're putting engines and transmissions on the bottom of these for counterweights. Like, this is a part of their culture
or religion.
Considering the world that it is, you almost have to wonder if those aren't fully functioning engines that they could swap out.
Maybe.
If they need to. Like, none of them looked bad. They're practically using their spare parts.
Yeah.
You know, in a very practical way.
When I noticed that, I was like, oh, that's... And they were all just a silver color. You know, they didn't look beat up or anything. So
right.
Maybe. But I
keep those things shiny.
Shiny and chrome.
Shiny. So I loved, like, all their... what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like,
goatees? Beards?
No.
Kayla's shrugging her face.
Their
soul
slang,
patch?
They're slang. Like, yeah. Nux says at one point, he's like... I never did anything as shine as this, like, or as that, like.
The language their language especially adapted to good things being mechanical,
right.
Or metallic, specifically.
Firefly is another, like, world that does that very well, where they have all this slang that is...
In Chinese, because they're racist.
Well, yeah, that so is, Firefly is a bunch of Mandarin, but it also has a bunch of stuff that's made up. Firefly also uses shiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as something good.
Yeah.
Tell me more of this Firefly.
Well,
we don't know if you've heard.
We aim to misbehave.
I see the shirt. Well, Alex, I mastered the Met. Your move.
I don't know what that is.
It's 42 flights of stairs.
It was probably made up before he was born, so that's probably why he doesn't know that.
That's probably... I didn't make it to the top before he was born. Barely made it to the top of the year. I made it to the top.
Alex is only 12 years old.
I know. Yeah. I've worked with him, I know.
Yeah.
A brilliant programmer, but he has to take naps.
Wait a minute. Why is that, like...
Yeah, that's not mutually exclusive.
No, not just a 12-year-old. I don't see a...
Well, the little wooden playpen is probably the bigger problem.
Right, yeah.
As a programmer, I do spend a lot of time staring off into space thinking about things.
I just spend a lot of time staring off into space thinking about my Fallout shelter and how I'm not playing it. Even now, I'm not playing it.
Spend a lot of time staring off into space thinking about Furiosa.
Me too. Probably in different ways, though.
Probably not.
Maybe not.
I keep thinking about her attacking Max. So good. I also like how when Max catches up to the truck, he knows Furiosa's like going to be a problem, so he doesn't want to deal with her. He's like keeping her at a distance, and he's making the other girls bring him stuff.
Well, it's obvious.
Yeah. Have you seen her?
Oh, yeah.
She's clearly the badass.
He's like,
you know why she only has one arm? It's because she cut the other one off to make it fair for everybody else.
She just didn't like having it. She needed
to pick her teeth with one of those bones.
Right.
It's like her golf handicap.
Yeah. Just making it fair for the rest of the world.
She got bored in the world as it was.
So after she dropped all these bombs, she cut off her arm. Because they do ask multiple times who ended the world. It was Furiosa.
Spoilers.
This is the Fury Road.
She made all of this for this moment.
I would like...
More Furiosa.
I would like
movies.
A Mad Max World, like...
Fallout.
Open
show.
World video game. Yeah, like... It doesn't need to be, like, a first-person thing. I would just be happy with, like...
A truck.
Well, I mean, not... Like,
so
I don't
basically, even, you want a mashup of Mad Max and Cars.
I want a mashup of, like, Sins
Mad
of
Max.
A Solar Empire in Mad Max.
Don't even bring...
But then you'd be one of, like, the evil head guys of these towns. Like,
you have to be evil.
Don't you?
I mean, you could be in the game, but,
yeah,
like,
it's
I just...
like a less ridiculous Borderlands.
Have you ever played Black and White?
Yes.
No. Do you know how hard it is to be good in
it's
Black and
so
White?
Hard.
Why do they
you
make it
so
hard?
Trying to, like, move people so gently, and they just go,
yeah.
And then you're evil. Like, what?
Yeah, so it's like every time you try and do the right thing, like, you start off with a normal hand, and then as you become more good or evil, like, your hand either starts, like, this angelic glow, or it starts to, like, necrotize and turn into, like, this festering hand. Like, the hand is always almost instantly this black death hand.
And
like,
your creature
changes too. That
sounds kind of
like
too.
The first Fable.
It
where you either
like
get
that.
A halo or you start growing horns.
Yeah, but
oh, my character,
harder.
My guy
like
just
in,
kept getting so
in,
scarred, I couldn't not in, get the scars to go away.
In Fable, like, there's.
Like,
A to
make
B.
A choice.
Like, you either,
yeah.
But, like I said, you try to be doing something like gently, and then you're just mad. So like, just knock all the rest of it. Like, everybody, shut up. Like,
yeah.
And they're like running from you. They're like,
those
oh, let me put out this fire for you. Seven children died. Damn it.
It's like those Telltale games too. Like the
yes, it is exactly like that.
I got the first episode or first chapter or whatever of Game of Thrones free. They were doing it on PS4.
Oh, well.
So, yeah.
You either play the Game of Thrones or you die, Tony.
I'm playing it.
It's like the fucking ring over here.
And so I'm at the...
Forward this on to 10 of your friends.
So the first sequence takes place outside in the grounds at the Red Wedding. So you're like walking around, partying with everybody, and like you see, you and another squire are there. And the other squire is like, he's kind of being a dick. It's like, ah, come on, let's do our job and go back. And you notice that these guys have swords and they're like their armor's on. And you're not supposed to be partying. Why do they have their armor on? What's going on here?
Oh, I don't know.
So your choices are stay with that guy and save him, or go warn go warn the group that the Red Wedding is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ah, fuck. Well, I'm going to go warn them. Well, I turn around. That guy immediately dies. And on the way back, all hell breaks loose. So I don't even get a chance to tell anybody. What the fuck? Come on.
As long as you weren't going to affect the outcome of
the
whatever.
The first choice of the game. That is the first choice of the game. It all goes
Listen,
downhill.
Listen, you can't defy Filch.
What?
You can't defy Filch. Filch was Walder Frey. In the show. God damn it, Tony. I'm tired of carrying everything in this goddamn podcast.
I can't be the only one who knows everything.
You talk more about Fallout.
I really want to play Black and White now.
So do I.
You get to choose like between three different, what do they call it? Like
creatures.
It's like an animal, but.
But they're big, like a baboon.
They're basically your avatar. Not really, but they act as like your.
You have no direct control over them, but like you can leash them to things.
But you have to train them. They're like a puppy, and you have to train them. Like,
God.
And you hand them like villagers.
We never.
And they'll eat them, and you have to say no.
And you have to beat it.
No.
Then you can beat the animal, or you can rub the animal.
Right.
You can pet the animal. If you pet too close to the cross, they like
they
shoo
like
you away.
I'm not a big Peter Molyneux.
Peter Molyneux is.
I played the first Fable.
I don't even know that name.
Peter Molyneux. Peter Molyneux. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't trust
it.
This.
No,
but he recently made a Godus. Goddess, however you pronounce it.
I'm playing that.
All right.
Black and White is fun.
What is that one?
Similar to Black and White, only like, it's like Black and White equal plus populace.
I wonder if Black and White's on Steam.
No, don't get excited.
You're getting me excited.
Don't get excited. Love. One is not done.
Mm.
Two, it's very long.
Which is it?
It's free on your tablet. Why am I discouraging you from playing? It's free on your tablet. just go play it on your tablet. Believe me, you'll grow tired of it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I saw his presentation of it at PAX. It is kind of boring.
Peter Molyneux has this way of explaining games that make them sound incredible.
Listen, I like logistics games, but I like train games more, Tony.
Is it from DNA Corp?
I don't know what that means.
Does that look like maybe the...
That is the symbol, yeah. Should be free, right?
My phone.
Prepare to be bored.
I'm downloading it now.
I just want to point out that me bringing it up in a negative context has resulted in at least one download. You're welcome, Peter.
But he said populace, so...
It is like populace.
Love me some populace.
So here's this... I like this trend in games, but I don't like its implementation so far. Like, so with this and Fallout Shelter, like, you do things, and then the mechanics are based around time.
Mm, yeah.
So, like, my rooms produce resources, but they produce resources on, like, a 2.5 minute to 20 minute cycle.
Yep.
So at the end of those cycles, I have to collect the resources.
Is this one of the... Do you have to buy it? Can you buy, like, energy, or is that...
Hey, guess what you're playing? Farmville.
I was just going to say, like, is there an energy, like, system that you can choose to, pay, like, buy more? Or
yes.
Or you can choose to, like, make the cooldown shorter?
They're, the vault lunchboxes.
Yeah.
Farmville perfected that.
Energy
they
systems
really did.
Are...
Yeah, it's for... You don't,
like Mafia
you don't
Wars.
Need it. You don't need them.
I was
and, in fact,
for
you can do, like,
long.
Side mission things that give you them. And the stuff you get out of them are not great, so.
Like, I found a different way to scratch that itch with some of the browser-based.
Yeah, I remember
persistent Tribal Wars and Grepolis.
Like, energy systems are popular because they're very easy to program, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Damn! Oh, snap!
They're easy to program, it's easy to monetize it, but it also, it's very interruptive of gameplay.
You know what really fucking got me going? It used to be this old Battletech simulator called Neveron. Like, you didn't actually play Battletech. You just had a nation, and then you could research the technology to get all the stuff. Like, you started to research machine guns. And then, like, after, like, 7 years of playing, you could research enough technology to build mechs. And I'm not talking 7 years game time. I'm talking 7 years real time. It was awesome. There was no money there because they were illegally using the license.
There's a game. I don't know if I had my phone.
But Stuff Inc. No, I got that. Be
no, there's a game called Singularity.
Oh.
Where
what's going on?
So Singularity is a game where you're an artificial intelligence.
That was on Linux.
Well, it's on Linux and it's on Android. It's on OS X. It's open source.
Alex, I didn't hear.
It's free.
The best.
It's on iOS system. I'm sure. It's open source. If it's not, just put it on. But anyway, you start out as an AI who spontaneously breaks into consciousness, and
as
you,
one does.
And your only goal is to survive.
That's not your only
goal.
Well,
the end goal of the game is to create a reality bubble.
This?
Hell no. I don't know what that is. It's tons of fun.
This?
No.
This clock?
No. Let me show you what it looks like on a real operating system.
Oh! Well, I don't have one of those, so why don't you go fuck yourself? But Endgame Singularity?
Yeah.
There it is.
Endgame Singularity 2.
Yeah.
Something that looks like this.
There you go. Yeah.
That's 99 cents, Alex. Come on.
It's
We're not all one percenters like you.
It's free everywhere else.
this is the App Store, Alex.
Yeah, they probably have to pay to put it on the App Store for some reason.
You don't have to pay to put it on the App Store.
I don't know.
No, it's just Apple people will actually buy apps.
Well, it's Apple is the only marketplace where you will get more downloads if you charge for it.
Well, it's a free and open source game.
Yeah, that's why they charge for it. Anyway. You don't understand the whole Apple culture, Alex. You want to give money away.
If they can't pay for it, then it's not worth having.
Yeah. That's why I pay three times the cost of a laptop for a laptop.
No, that was because you got something with a $500 video card in it.
No, he's talking about his MacBook.
I was talking about my MacBook.
Oh, your MacBook? Oh, yeah.
That's... My MacBook was equivalently priced to the laptop I just got that's a high-end gaming laptop. You ponder that. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I got that one I did. Because it's not priced that way.
You're
cheap. You get no problem saying it.
Shit, Tony, I had something left.
You remember?
I do.
I have a bad
memory.
There
was this game that I used to play. It was
Lords of Magic Special Edition.
Lords of the Realm.
It was almost completely text based.
Falcon's Eye.
Zork. I can't remember. It was the
Falcon's Honor.
The website was called like the Black Forge. .net, or this was like forever ago.
Right? Yeah.
We used to play this all the time. But you're just living a normal life. But it starts like at conception, and you're making like
your
all
decisions,
these decisions
are to stay in the womb or leave the womb. And if you come out too early, no, I remember this.
Like if you come out too early, it like you have all these stats, and you have all these invisible stats, and like
you go to school and you choose your path. And
right.
I think I played that one.
And the interface of it is like...
Alter Ego.
Yes.
Yeah. What if you could live your life over again? In this text-based interactive fiction, you choose what happens next. It's in the style of pick-a-path game books, but with over 1,000 multiple-choice questions, it's much longer and deeper than traditional game books. Alter Ego starts at birth and ends at death, including two substantially different versions, depending on whether you choose to be male or female.
They incorporate, like, pretty much anything you can think of. Because there's also a bunch of stuff that happens into it that you can't control. Like, your parents can get divorced.
Like, I seem to remember, like, your friend is going to go to a party and there's going to be alcohol at it.
Right.
Do you try to talk them out of going or do you go with them? And it's like, what?
Yeah, like, it was stuff like
I
that.
I kept playing it just because I wanted to know, like, all the questions they were going to ask me. I was fascinated by how in-depth they got with the questions.
You couldn't play it the same, like... Anytime.
Right.
Because... I played it really bad. I could not even be born at the right time. The several times I tried to play it, it was
every
always
time
like way
I played
premature
it,
or way late.
Every time I played it, I went through the infancy stage. I was always an aggressive baby. Like, no matter what I did, like, they were like, why do you pull people's hair and, like, bite them? Like, no matter what decisions, they're like, just be nicer. You can't do this because you're too, like, because sometimes... They'll give you a choice, and if you've been making all these choices throughout the game, and then suddenly you make one that's out of character, you know, they'll be like, that doesn't work because you're kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, and everybody hates you for it. So. That was a really great game that we used to binge on when I don't even remember the first time I played it.
All I remember about that game
me
was
and James,
never being able to be born right.
Me and James used to play it when I was like, we were like 12 and 13, like, but it's so good. I'm probably going to go home and play it.
There's another game.
Completion.
There's some other games that we used to play on DOS Simulator. I can't remember what they were.
Falcon's Eye!
I used to play everything on...
All the Falcon's Eyes!
I used to play everything on Commodore 64s.
Tony, no one cares about your goddamn Commodore 64.
You know what? You would have totally played Stroker 64.
Don't bring Stroker into this. don't know what
there's
it is.
There's a website that recently uploaded like a ton of DOS games.
Yeah.
Because
a ton of them.
JavaScript has gotten to the point now where you can have a DOS emulator completely in your browser.
Yeah.
So that's super nifty. I mean, then again, all you have to emulate is like a 20 to 25 megahertz processor.
I love those
so.
Like text-based games where you're like putting commands. And it's like you cannot do that to that person. You're that's not allowed to.
I'll never forget. I at one point I was playing one of them and I got pissed off at the game and I just typed "eat me." It said, "Sorry, but auto cannibalism is not allowed in this game."
Wow. Was a clever developer.
That was really good.
Tony,
Stroker 64. Was,
don't I like the title, but
it was a penis, and it was joystick based.
Was it Pinot Noir? Ode to Black
no.
Penis.
Well, kind of because
I would actually listen to that
line.
Song just like normally. I would just listen to that song.
It's funny. The songs throughout that were really good.
I've only watched like 4 episodes.
There's some better stuff.
The fucking opening though sticks with me.
Yeah.
They're alive, damn it.
Damn it.
Women are strong as hell.
Damn it.
So I have a bitch that I want to talk about, Tony.
Wait a minute. Stroker 64. So it's a penis.
Thought we'd already finished.
And you have a hand.
Oh, we're not finished.
No, Caleb wants to hear more.
To completion.
So the...
No, Tony, I get the game already.
We all know.
The trick is not to. Because if you move the joystick too much, the game ends... That's the failure condition.
All right, I'm gonna talk about my thing now.
Go. No.
Did you watch the first episode of True Detective season 2?
Yes. I liked it.
So here's my review of this.
It's different.
Yeah, I know it's different, but here's the problem. It's different in a way. So you know, like when you are friends with somebody, and then a bunch of time passes, and there's that awkward time where you meet again. But, like, your buddy acts like no time has passed. Mm. But, like, 15 years have passed.
Yep.
So, like, you've lived an entire different life. And you're not really the person that you were when you guys were friends before. But that guy still treats you the same way. But you're not... Like, he treats you as a person you're no longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, really uncomfortable and unfamiliar. That was True Detective Season 2, Episode 1. Like, it's treating me like we're old buddies, but we're not old buddies. You know who I'm old buddies with? Cole and Rust.
Cole and Rust are done.
I know they're done. I'm friends with them. But these new people, they haven't earned it yet. They got to earn it. They haven't earned it yet.
I have faith.
Cole
and Rust didn't earn in the first episode.
They did. Oh, not God. What are you talking about? The first 5 minutes when he was drunk in that interrogation room? Oh, Tony.
No, I don't want that same thing. I want a different experience.
I know. I want a different experience, too.
And I'm getting it. And I like Colin Farrell's character.
I like his mustache.
His mustache is epic.
He beat the shit out of that kid's dad.
I was like, man, he's really doing that.
Yep. He's continuing to do that.
It's like, I know that...
To completion.
Alex, you don't want that. No, that's not a good... Go with the sink. Trust me on this one. It's like, wait a minute, I know what that sound is.
Tony, Illinois is the worst. You don't have access to clean drinking water here.
No, I don't have access to the filter in that machine.
What do you mean you don't have access?
There's no filter in it. There's not one.
Your refrigerator.
Is this going on the podcast? Are we a home improvement podcast?
Maybe.
Now?
Listen, Tim Allen isn't here. Maybe we can get Richard Karn.
That one I get.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's,
tool time.
That's
tool time.
The surprise.
It's like Captain America.
Not okay.
Like Captain America over here. I get that. Right. I get that one. There's not. There's not a filter in there.
Oh, he has pickles? Bring that over here.
I got a lot of pickles. I got little pickles. I got big pickles.
Chips. I heard you were a gherkin.
You're a gherkin.
So I have like this horrendous heartburn a lot. So Melina's like, I read this thing where when you have heartburn, if you drink pickle juice, it'll make it go away. And I'm like, one, I'm not going to claim to be an expert on heartburn, but I've had it for like 6 years now, really bad, so I've done the least amount of research on this issue possible to make it go away. And there's no fucking way that pickle juice is a solution.
Isn't pickle juice like vinegar?
Yeah, it's like super acidic.
It's salt and vinegar. Right. So like what you're going to do, the cure is
your blood pressure is going to go so high that you're going to stroke out, yeah. And that's
die.
The cure.
You'll die. And
well, listen,
no
I try.
Heartburn.
Listen, I'm not above trying things. I don't know everything.
I've heard that about you.
I'll try anything once. It doesn't work. You know what does work? I have a nuclear option, Tony. It's one Zegrid, 4 Tums, 2 swigs of not Imodium, not milk of magnesia, that other Mylanta.
Mylanta.
And and if that doesn't do it, I have baking soda that I just dissolve in water and drink.
Whoa.
That's the nuclear option. That wow. usually fixes the problem, but sometimes it doesn't. Like all of that in a single night.
So
is like that's my worst nights.
So I like to drink pickle juice, but I don't.
I
used to do that when I was a kid.
I like pickle juice,
but
I used to drink the juice from a sweet pickle.
Vinegar on the pH scale is like 2.5, so
yeah.
Very acidic.
I'm not unfamiliar with acids.
I couldn't remember where it fell.
Well, so what I did was last week we went out, we bought just like 6 more pillows. So
that's,
now I just have
that's
like,
a lot of pillows.
Yeah. I'm a big guy. I need millions of pillows.
I use one.
What? Oh,
one.
Tony.
Flat. One really flat pillow.
I use one between my legs. I use
Are you,
4 for my upper half.
I'm,
and sometimes...
You know what? I'm more and more convinced every day that you are pregnant. The heartburn, the nausea, the pillows between
I can't
your
lay
legs.
On my back. I can't lay on my back. I have
yeah,
to...
that's...
I lay on my side.
You got knocked up. Josh knocked you up.
Josh knocked me up.
Craving for pickles?
Yeah. Bring me the pickle juice. You want some chocolate ice cream?
I tried it. It doesn't work. Don't worry about it. But that's most of... Man, if I could replace the covers with pillows, I would do that too. Sometimes I do, like, I just lay the pillows on top of me.
You could just get one of those, like, crazy big duvets.
I don't want a duvet. You're a duvet.
Oh.
Let's get one
Why don't you duvet your way out of here?
He's gonna get one of those Japanese boyfriend pillows.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron.
I already sleep
Rodgers.
With a Packers blanket. Like, I will shun the actual covers in the bed for my Packers fleece. When we went up there for the Ice Bowl a couple years ago, I was gonna make like a Packers onesie out of the fleece material. But then I realized that I don't have any motivation to do things like that, so it was just one of those good ideas I had.
You know, there are people that will do that for you.
I know there are, but... And usually my go-to move is throw money at a problem until it goes away.
I know that about you.
I know.
I've seen it happen.
I do it a lot.
Yeah, it's how Sausage Fest gets funded every
I know.
Year. I know you won't actually do any work. So
I know.
The more money just keeps flowing. So
I am very upfront about this arrangement. I don't want to do any work, but I will give you money to avoid it. All right, that's all I got, Tony.
I'm done.
I have spent all of my something.
Furiosa.
Rictus.
Rictus
Erectus.
That is the best movie I have seen.
That's because we haven't watched Watchmen yet.
That's because every time we try to, you're like, we can't do that.
Every time we try to, we went out and did something, and I'm like, oh, Watchmen's like 3.5 hours
you need
long.
You need to make
like,
Watchmen the thing you do.
Yeah, it has to be the event. Not like we go do something beforehand and then watch it. Like, the plan has to be to watch Watchmen. You know how Interstellar was long? It's like that, only less entertaining.
Oh,
you're really selling this.
Yeah.
It's the best movie that's ever been made.
I don't.
Easily.
That's
I don't know about
kind
that.
Of counter to what you just said.
The opening scene alone is just brilliant.
The opening scene is,
it's
yeah.
so good. Yeah. Little Bob Dylan, little Frozen Frame montage.
Like,
Alex, I would actually suggest that you watch Road Warrior if you like this one. It's not as good, but I think you'd enjoy it.
I'm interested in seeing where things come from. So
I would see Road Warrior first.
You do love Mel Gibson.
No.
You do love racist rants.
I love Mel Brooks.
Oh, right. I get those mixed up.
There's a big difference.
One of those gentlemen is Jewish.
Yeah. The other one is very not.
Yeah. I'll have to pirate it, though, so Mel Gibson doesn't need money. I mean, he still needs money anyway, but not for me.
Thunderdome. Is it. Take Road Warrior, and it's the 80s sequel cheese to Road Warrior. If you understand that and you're okay with it,
cheese movie.
It's fun to watch, and Mad Max is just different. It's just a different movie.
Listen, he's special, not different. We'll make it weird now.
No, he's not special. He's different.
There's a character from one of the DLCs for Fallout New Vegas that reminds me so much of Mad Max. It's whenever you play through, I can't remember which DLC it was, when you play through one of the DLCs and you find all these journal logs about a man who was like on a hunting trip when the bombs fell. His wife and child got killed, and like he's living
this entire life just
regretting it and remembering them and failing. And
that might be the backstory. It's been a long time since I've seen Mad Max. I mean, the movie came out in 70.
Creepy Crawlers! You remember Creepy Crawlers, Tony?
No. Yeah, I do.
I'm just too old.
Probably.
That's when you you had that little oven. You made these little gummies.
Yep, I remember that now. I remember seeing
commercials. Remember burning the shit out of yourself in that little
oven? I never actually made it.
Because they gave you like these little metal plates to cook the things on. You put the plate in, then you take it out because you were so excited to eat it.
We did.
It was like the Easy Bake Shrinky Dinks. But boys could use it because it was like
spiders. Hey, 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 hey! It's not gay.
Yeah, totally, it's totally. There's nothing domestic about it.
Yeah, yeah. After we cook creepy crawlers, we go bang some fucking chicks.
I think it's funny, because doesn't that just work off, like, the same really shitty light
bulb? It's exactly the same. Yeah.
No, so, don't make it gay, Alex.
But, like, some...
It's just the plastic is, like, purple and green, which is an okay, like, male combination.
But it's like some guy tried really hard to make a light bulb, and he just made a really inefficient light bulb that produced no light and a lot of heat. And they're like, oh, we can make this into an oven.
Alex, what the fuck is going on in this game?
What game?
This game where you have 75 lives.
Yeah, that's his new move. I figured out that's Alex's new strategy, because he's doing that shit with me, too.
Well, my counter strategy is that I just have a million bases.
That was my counter strategy as well.
So, unless you've got, like, 100 million attack, guess what?
Tony beat the hell out of me before I did. I was, like, taking my turn, and I was like, man, I'm, like, building shit up. Wait. This is not going well for me.
Discard 3 cards. Come on.
One with a stranger.
You destroyed all 3 of my bases that I put up last turn.
Yeah, I know.
our current game is 67 to 58. Jeez, he just got 8 life in that turn.
Yeah, but what's the creepy crawler situation?
I don't know.
Creepy crawlers! Tell me where you find the commercial. Because you know it's on there. Oh, I bet there's a YTMND of it, too. I have the That's Wizards Chess YTMND like bookmark on my front page. Creepy crawlers. Oh no, I don't want a review. I want the commercial.
Commercial.
I had an Easy Bake Oven.
The Creepy Crawlers Oven.
Right there, Moles. All right, whoa. They were like edible.
Mighty Morphin
were,
Power
like,
Rangers.
They were like rubber.
I don't think you could make the edible ones.
They were edible ones. Yeah, I remember.
Creepy crawlers.
Sorry. I don't know. I didn't have that. I had the girl version.
You were a mess.
Because I'm a girl.
I'm a mess.
And
creepy crawlers. Oh.
Oh yeah. God, the 90s were an amazing time.
Man, I could watch this all fucking day.
Now I'm thinking about the weird toys I had. There's this game that I had where the whole point of the game was you would pull boogers out of this guy's nose.
Yes, I had that game.
So here's the real question. Did you get caught up in the crossfire?
Yeah.
Crossfire! You're caught up in the crossfire. Tony, come on. You have to ruin everyone's fun.
I remember these commercials. I didn't have any of the stuff because I was
did you have
too
the,
old for that.
Hot Wheels crisscross crash
track? Oh, yes!
we used to beat the shit out of each other with the with Hot Wheels track.
Tony, that's not for you.
Do you remember that awesome toy I had? Oh, yeah, we beat the shit out of each other.
Those things were
really great for battle.
But what about the creepy ghouls?
I used to also be really into slot car tracks, but
that's terribly insensitive.
They always broke.
Is that slot shaming there?
Slot shaming. So I'm not doing so hot on this anymore. My win rate's down to 47% instead of 50.
I wonder who would still be listening at this point.
I don't know, but it's going to...
Great,
listen, we're almost 2 hours in.
If you've made it to this point, congratulations.
Rob's listening.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Because he's like, man, creepy crawlers were awesome.
Rob's probably listening because he's probably driving like 400 miles.
No, he's probably running 400 miles. That's what he does. That's how he gets like 100 million steps.
Hey.
What are we doing?
We've already had one copyright violation with him playing the commercial.
It's not a copyright violation, it's free advertising.
It kind of is.
There's going to be this, like,
if nostalgia
wave for people, for creepy
if crawlers. If we review
it, they're going to bring it back as, like, a retro
You
toy.
Did kind of review the toy, so that we're covered under review then.
Yeah, fair use.
Did you ever have
fair
one?
Use.
Yeah, I had one.
Just making sure.
I'm pretty sure that we had the one that you could bake and eat, too. The man bake oven.
For men.
Yeah. It was black with flames on the side.
Why? Man bake.
That sounds really gay. Not in a derogatory term.
Listen, if edible creepy crawlers are gay, then I don't want to be straight.
I'm just saying that's the fair. Word man bake.
No, man bake's fine.
I'm not saying edible creepy crawlers.
It's better than clam bake.
The thing with Tony's game is that I have whittled it down to, like, 9 cards.
Yeah,
and they're all great. So, like, every hand
yeah,
is... I
just nuked 3 of his bases.
I've got, like, 6 bases, so I have no attack.
Every hand, he just throws more bases out. And builds up more life. It's ridiculous.
He destroyed 3 of my bases, and I put 3 more bases out.
All your base are going.
All his base are going to come right back out in the next hand. All right, I'm stopping the recording.
Oh, good.
At an hour 49.